But Jesus, we just love you, Lord. We want to do everything that you want us to do, Lord. Lord, we want to hear you communicate to us. We want you to come down and talk with us a lot. We want you to, we want you to lead us and show us the things that you want us to do. Lead us every step, Lord. Because we're coming to a time where we're going to have to be listening to your, and being obedient to your voice. And Lord, I thank you, you're doing that. You're bringing us into that. And Father, I ask and I pray that tonight you anoint us to everybody in here to share what it is that you've placed on their heart. And I praise you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that Marlon is healed. I thank you, Lord, that everybody we prayed for has been touched by you, Lord, and that the prayers have been answered in the name of Jesus. And I praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for all you're going to do tonight. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Okay.
All right, anybody got a prayer request? Hey, Leo, now I have to ask, are you in Missouri or are you in Alaska? You still in Alaska, aren't you? Okay. All right. It won't be long now. 1 week or 1 day? Okay. All right. There's Debbie and Denny, too. Oh, man, we got a crowd on here tonight. Malcolm. All right. Anybody need a, I got a prayer request.
Hey, do you see John there?
Yeah, hey, John. How you doing, brother?
Hey, John.
Greetings from Sweden.
Yes, Lord.
Hey,
Debbie. Amen.
I have, I'm not working right now because it's Easter holidays. Now I can join your meetings.
Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Okay. Judy, what are you doing? What are you doing, Judy? She's trying to get it all fixed up, aren't you, gal? Okay. Anybody got a praise report, testimony, or would like to pray about something?
Hey, Michael.
Yes, sir.
I want to pray about my knee. It was doing really good up until today. It's starting to hurt again.
Okay.
And I'll need it back to feeling better when we move later in the week. So.
Okay.
Well, Lord, I just pray for my knee. Just take away this pain that, that I'm experiencing now. And I pray that you'd replace this knee, this metal knee with a bone knee. And just get it back to normal and so it won't hurt. And just thank you, Lord. I praise you and I believe that you're going to do that and heal me up, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. You got a grease alamide on that knee? Well, you can grease it if you have to.
No zerk setting.
Okay. Well, let me pray for you. In the name of Jesus, Lord, you know, you showed Robert Schlurden and you showed somebody else that warehouse up there that you've got full of parts. And I know you got a knee up there just for Leon. Yeah. And in the name of Jesus, I command that knee to be replaced and restored just like he had it when he was born. And it's a brand new knee and all the working parts for it. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Ooh, my. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, sir.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Okay. Anybody else?
Michael?
Yeah, what?
About my leg, it fell asleep last night. Woke up at 5 with my foot sleeping. And it hasn't woke up yet. Not entirely.
Okay.
I can walk on it, but it's tingling and burning.
Okay. You want to pray? You want me to?
Please pray.
Okay. Well, in the name of Jesus, which one is it? Your right leg or your left leg? Left leg. All right. We command that left leg to wake up in the name of Jesus. We command the tingling to stop. We command all the stuff that's going on in that leg to cease right now in Jesus' name and be back to normal in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that it is in Jesus' name. Wade, you believe that?
I believe it.
Okay, brother. Just forget about it because it's done.
Okay.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Okay. Anybody else? Well, Father, we thank you for taking Leo back down to Missouri. Missouri without any problems, Lord. Let it be a smooth transition just like it has in the past. Father, and I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, that once they get down there, they're going to be so happy. Happy, happy, happy. And thank you, Lord, because you're with them in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, I thank you that Josiah is healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father.
Thank you for that, Michael.
Yes, sir.
Hey, can I say a prayer for my daughter?
Yes, sir, you can.
Heavenly Father, I just come before you, Lord, with my daughter. Lord, we took her to the dentist, and they gave us a bad report. Lots of cavities. She's only 3 years old, Lord, and a $2,600 bill to fix it. And, Lord, I just ask you to take care of this problem, Lord, that her teeth would be restored. We try our best, Lord, to brush them and clean them, but for some reason they are rotting, and we come against that rot in the name of Jesus, and we command it to be restored, Lord, that her teeth would be healthy, and that they wouldn't break, Lord, that they would until the natural process takes its course and they fall out and new ones come in, Lord, that you would just bless her, Father. Bless her with good teeth, Father, and that we wouldn't have to face any of these expensive bills to fix these things on our own, Lord. We don't want to do that, Father. We want to trust you, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for a brand new set of portions in her mouth in the name of Jesus, and just naturally put in there. Lord, you've done it before, and you can do it again. For what's your daughter's name?
Leanna.
Leanna. Lord, we thank you for that. Ooh, she's 3 years old. Boy, she's precious right now.
She just turned 3.
Awesome. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Love them babies. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else?
Well, you know, while we're at it.
Go ahead, brother.
Maybe it's a little bit early, but so the Lord just blessed us with wonderful news, and we're expecting our fourth.
I was fixing to say, you fixing to get you another. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Awesome. Yeah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord, for that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. So when's she due?
I have no idea.
When it gets here, huh?
It's kind of a early thing.
Yeah. Okay.
But
we believe it, Lord. Yes, Lord. That sounds like December.
Probably October or something like that.
October. Okay. All right. Thank you, Lord, for another child. Ooh, my goodness, I love them babies. Man, I over here, Leo, when the kids get up old enough, I take them on the tractor. I let them ride around on the tractor. I put the trailer behind it and just throw them all in there, and they just have a blast on that tractor, in that trailer. Amen. All right. And Obadiah's getting up there. Well, it won't be long before he'll be getting up there with me in the seat.
Yeah.
All right. Anybody else got a prayer request or testimony or praise report. Bless all.
Yeah, Michael.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I would like a continued prayer for our son Judah and his wife Annette.
Okay.
They moved out of Illinois and they're heading towards Colorado to relocate. We're close to where our other two daughters are, but they planned about a 6-week trip, kind of around the down south, across over by the Grand Canyons and up toward Oregon and then back to Colorado. But anyway, they met with some, we prayed for them earlier, and they met with some mechanical problems with their trailer. Both axles are broke. So, but anyway, where they bought the trailer from back up in Illinois, were supposed to have repaired it. But I guess they just jacked the trailer up and drilled a hole through the frame and lowered it back down and just kind of rebolted it rather than fixing the axle. And they thought that would keep it from coming apart or something. I don't know, like a mechanic who looked at it, he couldn't believe what they did. But he did call back up there and they said they would financially take care of it all. But we're thanking the Lord. They were going through Arkansas, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
Up and down a lot of hills and this and that. And it could have been a real disaster. Yeah. But the one axle broke, and then that caused the other one to break, I guess. So in the meantime, they headed out in their truck, and they're going to just stay in tent. They already had their trip kind of scheduled, you know, and they went keep on schedule, and they're going to fix the trailer where it's at now, and then they're going to drive it to them. They figured a rendezvous with it in Texas. So I just want to pray for continued safety for them and thank the Lord. Father, we thank you for keeping your hand upon them already, and they could have been a real serious problem. And we just thank you, Father, and we just trust you to continue to take care of it. Lord, above all, I just pray that they would meet with you on this trip, Lord. And each stop, we just pray you would send believers to engage with them, Lord. And I know Judah's a believer, and Annette is. But we just pray that they would step up with Lord God and be baptized in the Spirit and just really seek after you. So we just ask this would be an encounter with you on each step on their journey now. We just thank you. So give them continued journeys, mercy. Just keep your hand upon them. We just thank you, God, for protecting them. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Was you talking like a 16-foot trailer? Flatbed?
No, it's a like a house, you know, camper type trailer.
Oh, RV.
Pulling behind that was going to be their housing on the trip.
I see.
All the way. So now it's changed a little bit. So.
Yeah. Okay. So,
thank the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, that there's not going to be any more problems with that thing.
Yeah.
Jesus' name. Yeah. See, if they'd have fixed that the first time, they wouldn't have been out all that money, that dealer up there, would he? People sometimes surprise me. Okay, anyone else? I think that's Tracy. Yep. Okay. Anybody got a comment? I would like to talk about something before we get started. Yeah, Missy.
Before you get started, then what? What are you going to do?
You first.
Oh, well, what do you think about if I share what I heard when I woke up this morning?
Okay, yeah, that'd be good. Because I didn't hear what you said.
You didn't hear it?
No, I didn't. I couldn't understand you.
Okay, well, I got some verses for it, too.
No, I didn't say nothing about no verses, because you always want to get a whole book in there or something. No, you go right ahead.
Well, anyway, this morning I woke up. As I was waking up, I heard, I knew I was dreaming, and I think I was hearing scriptures being read or spoken or whatever. But
you hear what?
I think my sense was I thought I was before when I woke up there were like scriptures being read, but I don't remember what they were. That was my sense. It was, you know, the word of God being spoken or whatever. And but all I remember was
Messy, you got some noise or something in there on your
really?
Microphone. Yeah, it's squeaking.
I don't know what it would be.
Okay, it's good now. You quit. So you must have turned it off.
I didn't do anything.
Okay.
But anyway, as I was waking up, I heard, be of good cheer, the Lord is near. And so I asked the Lord for a word. And it's just this phrase. It's not in context at all. It's just right where my finger landed. And it was John 18:16. And I landed at this phrase, at the door. So I was like, okay. Well, I asked the Lord for another verse. And I landed in Jeremiah 49:17. And I landed at on the word plagues. So then I looked at the whole context of it, and I'm going to read, if you just want to follow along, 14-22 in Jeremiah 49. And there's a lot in this. And this is what it says. I have heard tidings from the Lord. An ambassador is sent among the nations, saying, gather yourselves together and come against her and rise up to the battle. For behold, I have made thee small among the nations and despised among men. As for thy terribleness, the pride of thy heart hath deceived thee, O thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, that holdest the height of the hill. And though thou shouldest make thy nest as high as the eagle, I will bring thee down from thence, says the Lord. And this is where I land in verse 17. And Edom shall become an astonishment. Every one that passes by it shall be astonished and shall hiss at the plagues thereof. And as in the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighbor cities thereof, says the Lord, no man shall dwell there, neither shall any son of man sojourn there. Behold, he shall come up like a lion from the pride of the Jordan against the strong habitation, for I will suddenly make them run away from it. And whoso is chosen, him will I appoint over it. For who is like me, and who will appoint me a time, and who is the shepherd that will stand before me? I wrote down to 26. Okay. Therefore, hear this counsel of the Lord that he hath taken against Edom, and his purpose that he hath purposed against the inhabitants of Teman. Surely they shall drag them away, even the little ones of the flock. Surely he shall make their habitation desolate over them. The earth trembleth at the noise of their fall. There is a cry, the noise whereof is heard in the Red Sea. Behold, he shall come up and fly as the eagle and spread out his wings against Bozrah, and the heart of the mighty men of Edom at that day shall be as the heart of a woman in her pangs. And I asked David about this. Verse 19 is talking about the man-child. And but what I got out of this was, the Lord's at the door, but also the plagues are at the door because, you know, the Lord is, you know, in control of everything. And, and just a couple different things that different ones spoke about this. The Lord is near in that he is, he protects those who abide in a secret place, like, you know, Psalm 91. And also I believe, you know, the Lord being near is also speaking of the man-child. The man-child anointing is near, which I asked the Lord last week a word. I asked him, you know, which is first, the man-child or the plagues? You know, the anointing of the man-child or the plagues? And what he gave me was, which I believe this is kind of very similar to what I got today, too. He gave me Psalm 124. And that was really interesting, too. Because when I I landed in
what
like
psalm, the what psalm was that again? I'm sorry.
Psalm 124. And I landed on of David. And it wasn't until I read it in the morning prayer meeting that that I got what this was, you know, a song of ascent of David. And what I got out of this was, and I'll read this chapter, but what I got was that the Lord was saying that the anointing of the man-child and the plagues are very close together, or the plague is very close together. And but what it says, Psalm 124, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up alive. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters had overwhelmed us, the stream had gone over our soul, then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord, who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Their soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. So, you know, that snare of the fowler, you know, the Lord's promising protection here, which is, you know, Psalm 91 again, too, you know. But I think they're very similarly related. And I was just like, wow, I was really encouraged by that this morning, you know, waking up and hearing that and then getting these verses. So to me, and as Michael will tell you, we've been getting a lot of things here lately, verses about the man-child and the pestilence, plagues, whatever you want to call it. So, yeah, it's very close. I believe it's very close because we're like really bombarded with a lot of verses like that. Wouldn't you say, Michael?
Well, this morning was a prime example, you know. Almost everybody had one on what was going to happen to our enemies, you know, and
right.
All that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really good what the Lord's doing. Yeah, Leah.
I sent David, I sent it to you too, Michael. I sent to David yesterday a new plague, a pestilence that's developing in actually around Germany, where it was a thing that affected horses and cows and chickens and so forth. But now it's jumped over into humankind, and they've had four people die. Well, the brain swells and starts bleeding, and so that's a brand new one that we haven't heard of before, and I don't remember the name of it. It started with a B, and it was named after a town where it was first discovered back in the 1700s, but it only affected the animals, and now it's jumped over into the humankind, so there's all kinds of them going around. plagues.
Amen. Amen. Well, we got a bunch of animals out there too, you know, calling themselves humans.
Anyway, back to that Psalm 124, Song of Ascent of David. You
hey,
know,
it's hey, so, hey. There's that squealing again. Y'all hear that? Yeah, it's a bad squealing.
Yeah,
but go ahead now. It's all right, quit now.
Okay. But that song of where it says a song of ascent, it's like, you know, the man child, you know, going to the throne, you know, caught up to the throne or whatever. But that's about it seems like the Lord's saying that they're both very close together, the plagues and the man child anointing. David said he thinks so too. So, but anyway. So, just wanted to share that.
Amen. Well, you know, this afternoon, David asked the Lord about a word and got up to the throne three times. Up to
wow.
the throne, up to the throne, up to the throne.
Wow. Oh,
let's go.
He got random words saying that?
One word, it said it three times. I believe that's what he said. I knew he had it three times. I'm not sure. The way he talked, it sounded like it was in one verse or one set of scriptures or three times.
Okay. So, okay.
We can ask him about it in the morning.
Yeah, that's encouraging.
Amen. That means the man child can go up to the throne, get instructions in it. Come on now.
Thank yeah.
Lord. Praise you, Father.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious, that means everybody fixing to get healed. Everybody fixing to get delivered.
Woohoo.
Everybody fixing to be set free. Thank you, Lord.
Mm.
Okay. Is that it, Missy? You got some more?
No, that's all I got.
Oh, just for y'all that just joined us tonight and hadn't been with us, we're going to start in tonight on Delivered from Dark Power, just to kind of go over it a little bit. David Nelson wanted to do that. And how do you tell you? That's a good teaching. Delivered from Dark Power. That thing should be out, you know. Somebody help me with it. Missy, you might remember the thing about Pam. She said the Lord told her that when that thing was published, that the man child would be coming out. That the man child will be anointed.
Yeah, they're both close, like coincide.
Yeah,
something
parallel
like,
with one another. Yeah, okay. That's what
yeah.
I thought he said. Yeah, that's what I thought she said. So, and that thing will be published any day now. Any day now. Oh, my! Thank you, Lord. I'm believing. Y'all believing?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Okay, anybody else? I can feel Hawaiian weather coming in on us, man. I'm telling you, that's what I'm thinking. Y'all see this new shirt I got? Y'all see that? Brand new Hawaiian shirt. I ain't never worn it before. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's going to be palm trees out there on this mountain. Pineapples out here. I don't know. Coconuts, all that good stuff. Praise God. Okay, anybody else? I'm getting excited about what's fixing to happen to y'all. I'm telling you. There's going to be some great stuff happening. People are going to be translated all over the place. Woo, you'll have to be flashing by one another. You know, whoop, there he goes. Who is that? Oh, that's Missy. She's going somewhere. Whoop, there goes Leon. There goes Tim. Lord God, wonder where he's headed to. You know, I believe we're going to see that. Thank you, Lord. Some of y'all may not believe it. I don't care. I believe it because I know what's going to happen. People are going to be translated to get, people are going to be translated in places to get people out of trouble. Yes, Lord. Y'all that's been sitting up there in these dangerous places, not to know, I don't know who it is, but in them dangerous places, and you've been up there evangelizing, you've been up there talking to folks about the Lord, and some people get saved because you're there, that's where the Lord wants you, and then here come Leon, y'all better get on over here now, we're fixing to go on back, Lord's fixing to beam us back, they're going to take you out of trouble. Go ahead, Leon.
I was going to say, Sandy had a dream about that, if you remember. Translating in and rescuing people and bringing them back and going again and bringing more people back. And there was Russians involved in that, and we were getting Russians and bringing them back. And
Didn't know any English, and they had to call Pam to get up there and interpolate what they say. That's true. Yeah, Missy.
I don't remember when it was. It might have been 2012 or maybe even before that. I don't know. But I remember hearing David talking about that, you know, people being translated. And
shut up. And, shut up, Fudge.
Come here, Fudgy. Anyway, she went. But it was just like I was like, it was like, I don't know how to describe it, but there was like a quickening or a witnessing within my spirit that I was going to do that and be translated to like go get my family and stuff like that. You know what I mean? It was just like, I don't know how to describe it, but it was like a knowing.
Well, I believe that's going to happen to a lot of folks. I do. Yeah, that's going to be awesome. That's going to be awesome.
Well, we'll need that when the earthquakes come.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, that dream that Sandy had, she was going out there to get one person and brought back a bunch of them.
Yeah,
she brought back a bunch of them. She didn't even know it until she got back here and looked around. There was all kinds of folks she brought back. Praise God. That's down there at Court, California. All right. Anybody else? Well, y'all, when you get your word from the Lord, make a note of it in your notebook, and then after a week's time or so, look in there and just kind of go over it and see what the Lord's telling you, because we have anywhere from 15 to 20 people every morning giving a word, you know. I guess that's how many we've got. I hadn't counted them in a long time, but I suspect there's somewhere around 15 or 20 come in every morning. And we get words, and all of them seem to correlate with what the Lord wants us to know. And we can pretty well see what he's telling us, you know. So that's pretty neat. Pretty neat. All right. Let me see who is in. Okay. Who is that? Said mute my audio. Everybody's muted. Okay. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to share while I check this out? Yeah. Okay. What about a testimony? I'm waiting on a testimony from one somebody when they come on. I don't see them on, though.
Well, Michael, I was going to give a testimony tonight about the Lord healing my knee, but But then we wound up praying for it and getting bad again. So I'll give you a testimony next time.
Okay.
About my knee being healed.
Yeah. That sounds good. Don't know who that is. Okay. All right. Yeah. That'd be good. Let me think of any more testimonies we got. Judy's been healed. By faith, she believed it. Okay.
Hey, Michael.
Yeah, go ahead, Debbie.
I'm going to share a testimony that I haven't shared yet, and I should have. But
I imagine so.
I just don't think of these things.
Okay.
After the fast, different ones shared how they were healed of different things, and Missy shared about her arthritis in her hand and somebody else in their hand, and maybe I did share, but I think I did share on this conference call, so, but I'll do it again because I didn't share all of it. I've always had a problem with my wrist, but just the big part below the thumb on the hand, you know, and on both hands. So I couldn't pinch little tight, like, lift things. It had to be, you'd use your fingers and go, like, lift things, like a peel, film off a new bottle, ketchup bottles and things like that. Just, and it didn't do everything and open certain bottles and everything. It was just always so painful with both hands. And so when we broke the fast and had that meal, I realized the next day or two later, Marlene had asked me if I would peel the film off these new bottles, ketchup bottle, relish bottle, and mustard bottle. I thought, oh, yeah, I can do that. And I did it. I was able to just pinch, use these fingers and do that with no pain in my hand. It just right off. And ever since I've been able to do that and use my hand in this way. So, Lord just healed my, I still have a lump there, but, it doesn't hurt. And I can do now with what I couldn't do before with my hands. So I didn't share all of that about the bottles.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We command that lump to go in Jesus' name.
Yeah, amen. Thank you,
amen.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you. All right. Anyone else? Lord, today was beautiful here. I got to say that. Man, he's up there probably 75 or so. I don't know, but man, it was really nice. Wind blowing a little bit, but the sun shone, and they said it was supposed to rain, start raining about 11 o'clock this morning, and it didn't start raining until, I guess, a little bit after, right before dark. Praise God. I see you still got sunshine out there, Tim. There's something wrong with that picture. Let's see. It's a quarter till what? Quarter to seven, or quarter to six? Quarter to seven.
Quarter to six.
Oh, quarter to six. Yeah, that would be still a light out there. Okay.
Yeah.
John's down there early in the morning over there in Sweden. Yeah. And Joe and Nora, too. Okay. Anybody else got anything they'd like to share before we get into Delivered from Dark Powers? Where's David Nelson? He must have had to work late. Okay, Delivered from Dark Powers. This is one that Pam did. She extrapolated different portions of testimonies and teachings that David had through a bunch of his teachings, and put them together and made a book out of it. And it's really a pretty interesting book. We had a Bible study under here. It's been quite a while ago, probably maybe a year ago. I don't know maybe when it was. But it's really a good book, and it was well done. And it'll be coming out in book form here shortly. So, Did everybody get a chance to read any of these, the first couple of two or three chapters? Okay, we can talk about something else if y'all didn't do that. I ain't scared. Yeah, Tim.
Well, I did get a chance to read, I don't know, three or four chapters of it, and I really liked it. I liked some of the formatting. I liked the prayers of encouragement at the end of the chapter, mm-hmm. by whoever edited it. I haven't read all of David's books, but that's a, from the ones I've read, that's a real nice little addition. And it kind of closes out the chapter with a little bit of encouragement. It's a prayer that, you know, anybody can apply to their life. And kind of going to go back and rehab, even after I'm done with the book, you know, read those prayers. And I really like that. And the encouragements that, that's where I'm at now. I'm not even sure what chapter it is, but the healings, that one family was delivered from all the curse.
That was the first chapter, yeah.
And that should be good for Leon, you know, for the when that lady had her thyroid replaced, that's a total miracle there. And it's real blessed. Really enjoyed the read. Carry on.
Yeah, at the end of the chapter. I think just about all of them have a testimony of a healing or a deliverance or whatever that has something to do with what she talked about, what we talked about in the chapter itself. The first chapter is called Jesus Crippled the Devil. And did Jesus cripple that devil? Oh, he got a chain on that boy. He got a chain on here. He can't do nothing unless Jesus says it's okay, can't he? He telling me, you better sit on back there, Satan. I ain't ready. Ain't time. The first little prayer that she had in here, when Jesus crippled the devil, she said, Father, thank you for giving me an excitement in my spirit as I read your instructions on how to give the devil a black eye. Even the title, Jesus Crippled the Devil, stirs me. Thank you for hope and encouragement to know more and to act upon what I learned. I'm tired, Father, of all the areas in my life where I'm not experiencing victory. I'm ready for a change. I ask for your grace and power to open up your word to my heart and spirit. I want to be a spiritual warrior. I want the enemy's camp to cringe every morning when I wake up. Amen. And thank you in advance for what you're going to do in my life through this book. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord, I appreciate it, Father. I appreciate this book because it's got a lot of good scriptures in it. It's got a lot of good teaching in it. Thank you, Lord. Just to give you an overview of the first chapter. When the Pharisees accused Jesus of casting out demons by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, he replied, Luke 11 and 19, and if I, by Beelzebub, cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if by the finger of God cast out demons, but if I, by the finger of God, cast out demons, then is the kingdom of God come upon you. And he says, when the strong man, he's got that word man in parentheses, the word man is actually not in the original. It was added in later. Jesus was calling the devil the strong when he was spoiling the devil's kingdom. So you can strike that one out in that verse there. When the strong, fully armed, guardeth his own court, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him his whole armor wherein he trusted and divides his spoils. Verse 23, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathers not with me scatters. And it actually says in Luke chapter 11, verse 21, back to 21, when the strong, fully armed, guards his own court, his goods are in peace. His goods are in peace. That's what he's supposed to say. These goods that Jesus is talking about are the things that the devil, the strong, has been given authority over in this world. And the court here represents his kingdom where he, the strong, rules and reigns. And that's what Jesus was talking about. Luke 11:21 again. When the strong, that's talking about the devil, fully armed, guards his own court, and that's that's referring to the strong, goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, that's Jesus. That was Jesus right there. He takes from him his whole armor wherein he trusted. Y'all know that the devil ain't got no armor, don't you? His kingdom has no armor at all. The demons have no armor. They have no protection against the authority that God has given to us. That protection has all been taken away from them. His whole armor has been taken away from the devil, as it is God. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. And he gave us authority in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, one of my favorite verses. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. That's something that's already been accomplished. It isn't something that we have to accomplish. God has given us authority to partake of everything that Jesus did at the cross. Colossians 1 and 12, giving thanks unto the Father who made us meet. In the Greek there is made us competent. Made us competent to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Whatever a saint in light is entitled to, God made us able to partake of that. So if you think that you lack ability, you're wrong, and you need to study the scriptures. For example, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13, wherefore, take up the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Without taking up the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. And then over in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I can do all things in him that strengthens me. And so Jesus made us able to be a partaker in whatever we need. He made us able to plunder the devil's kingdom. And the devil's kingdom is wherever the devil rules or his curse reigns. And wherever the devil has ability, we've got the ability to take it from him. That devil has no power. And I'm just going to add, when you know your authority, that devil has none, zero, zilch power. Do you remember when Joshua and Caleb were seeking to bring the children of Israel into the promised land? After spying out the land, these two said that their enemy's defenses were removed from over them. And that's in Numbers 14 and 9. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is removed from over them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Now all that the other 10 spies could see were the giants. But Joshua and Caleb saw that the enemy had no armor. And that's the way we have to see the enemies of God's kingdom. And it makes no difference whether those enemies are the lust of the flesh, works of darkness, demons, the devil, or whatever. Their defense is removed from over them. They have no power against the word of God. Jesus was the stronger who came and took away their whole armor in Luke 11 and 22. Ain't that some good news, y'all? Glory to God, that's some good news. We ain't got to worry about nothing if we understand what our authority is. Anybody got any questions on that first little bit? Yeah, Tim.
I just got a little comment.
Yes, sir.
Little revelation I got out of that, just talking about when I was reading that. After all the teachings I've listened to and stuff, and all the times I've read that, about the strong man when he's, in his possessions, and when the stronger comes, it had never clicked that the stronger was Jesus, and that put another layer to that parable, and it was really good for me to hear that. I am getting something out of the book, but it's amazing how many times you read something, you don't quite get it, or you don't get that extra layer, or just look at it in the physical instead of the spiritual, and that's what I've been doing all these years on that particular verse, and so I just wanted to pass that along, and I did I enjoy that part and learning,
Well, it's interesting how it brought out that the devil is no bigger than what we make him. He ain't no bigger than what we make him. We can remember the devil kept saying bigger, bigger, bigger to David, and he said, no, smaller, 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 smaller. And that's the way we have to be. We have to understand that the devil can't have any, he didn't have any power against us. Lord of God, man, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the most power, that's more power than a nuclear bomb. That's a lot of power. That's the law of the spirit of the life of Jesus Christ living in us. Praise God. Woo, man. I don't know what Denny's doing. He's flying around. Hey, come in for a landing. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. All right. Anybody else got any comments or questions on what little bit we just talked about there or I read out of the book? Are y'all getting any? Yeah, Andrew.
He did mention that he's armorless in Luke, in that passage of Luke there where he takes away his armor. Yeah. And then he mentions the armor that we get in Ephesians.
Yep.
And that's like putting on the Lord Jesus Christ right there. So if you go up against a person who's got no armor and you're fully armed, it gives you some confidence. And that's what I felt when I collated those two together. It's you have the armor of God. It's very encouraging when you read just even the first few pages of that. It's another one of those. I'm on three books now. And I'm still at the beginning of each one. So, you probably made it just as far as I made it today on that book. And I'm looking forward to seeing that at the end of each chapter there, to the prayer there and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really neat. That's really neat. But Leon, go ahead, brother.
Well, I was going to say, even if the enemy is armored up, and you can take David and Goliath, for instance, because Goliath was not only a massive man, he was fully armed, but David was a shepherd, and he had nothing but a sling and stone. But if you're in the power of the Lord, you can even overcome that armored enemy and defeat him with nothing but a rock and a sling. You know, it's that simple. That's the kind of power that your Lord has. But if you can take away his armor, that's even better, you know. And like Andrew was saying, and you're armored up. Well, that's a great thing. But you can't put God in the box like that and just say it's like that, because he's got several stories with varying scenarios. So
think about this. Talking about, no, Goliath didn't have no armor. David took his armor away from him and whacked his head off.
Right.
He whacked his head off. Glory.
All he had was five stones, wasn't he?
Right.
Yeah.
Five stones.
Yeah.
Five smooth river rocks. Yeah. Didn't take but one.
Yeah, but that's the power that the Lord has. And if you're going in the power of the Lord, you know, you have the power against the enemy, regardless of how armored he is, or how entrenched he is, or how in the castle he is. It doesn't matter. If you're with the Lord, you've got the you're going to defeat him, regardless of how he is. So,
amen.
So
I mean, somebody can come up there with a .357 Magnum pointed at your head. And you can tell them, say, look, you know, I don't know if it's my time or not, but if it ain't my time, you better look out, because you're fixing to get hurt.
But you're going to kill yourself.
Yeah. Don't be surprised if that bullet goes backwards. I've heard of that happening to people from Christian missionaries and stuff, you know.
Right.
So I don't doubt that a bit in the world. That we have more authority, more power, and we have more authority than any of the enemy out there. The problem is, most folks don't know it. They don't understand that they do have that power. That Luke chapter 10 and verse 19 was a revelation to me, man. I said, I done caught on to something here now. I done got all authority over all the power of the enemy. Who's the enemy? Everything comes against me. It don't make any never mind, man. If something comes against me, look out. If a storm comes up against you, that storm's got to yield to that power. If you got a jihadist coming up with a machete at you, you got the power. Just tell him, you better look out. You're going to cut your own head off if you ain't careful. You know, that's the power God gives us. We don't have to worry about nothing. That's that rest that God wants us in from Hebrews. I think we talked a little bit about that last week. We just rest in the knowledge God's got us in his hand from that Psalm 91, man. We just, oh my goodness. Can y'all imagine the things that God's going to show us here in the days to come? Because all hell's going to break loose. And it's going to be death and destruction all around it. There's 1,000 at one side of me, 10,000 at the other side. There ain't none coming nigh me. I'm just kind of paraphrasing. I'm using a little bit of Arkansas lingo there. But that's what happened. I guarantee you that's what's going to happen. 1,000 will die on this side and 10,000 on this side, and that boy from Arkansas knows his authority going to be walking right through him, boy. An atom bomb can go off right beside Andrew up there. He's just going to brush it off and go on preaching the gospel. Praise God. And if people can come around Joe and Noah there, and they're going to warn, y'all do anything, you better look out. It's going to backfire on you. I'm telling you. Amen. There ain't nothing that God won't do for his folks. Nothing. Man, I've seen that ever since I've been here. All kinds of things we've seen God do for his people. And in the days ahead, when this plague comes about that Leon was talking about, I don't remember what the name of it was either. Leon, I went in there and looked at that a little bit. But it's nasty. It's a nasty plague. There's a bunch of nasty plagues being turned loose on God's people. And it's just going to get worse and worse for those who don't know their authority in Christ. Y'all remember John G. Lake's story about the bubonic plague over in South Africa when he was there. Man, they were burying folks right and left, him and another guy. They were burying folks with bubonic plague and all kinds of germs and stuff on them dead folks. And the people come in and wanted to know, the medical people came in and said, how in the world did you go out there and get amongst those people without all of this uniform that you have to wear? He said, brother, it's the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. He said, that's what it is. And he gave that, you know, that little, told him to go get some spit off of a dead body full of bubonic plague germs and to put it in my hand and watch under the microscope as you put it in my hands and see what happens. Now, you don't think that man knew about his authority? He knew his authority. And then that germs just died as soon as they hit his hands, put a big old wad of spit off a dead corpse that was just full of bubonic plague. And it died right in his hands. And they said, what in the world is that? What is that? You know, and he told them, that's Christ Jesus. And that's the way we're going to be too. Praise God. We just have to understand what our authority is. And that, you know, and I believe a lot of y'all, if not all of you, when the anointing comes, you're going to understand. And that anointing is going to awaken a lot of us to the knowledge that, hey, look, we ain't got to put up with this mess, this curse. Don't have to put up with it. And the people around us don't have to put up with it. Ooh, Lord of God. Man, this is good stuff. Okay. Then we'll go to Jesus divided the spoils. Those spoils of the devil's kingdom are all the places where he has taken advantage of your life or taken authority over the things or circumstances that God has put in your hands. All these add up to spoils. When Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil in Acts 10:38, he was spoiling the devil's kingdom. And if you're being oppressed of the devil, Jesus destroyed this oppression. He broke this power everywhere he went. Whether it was hunger, sickness, demonic possession, or mental need, it didn't make any difference. Jesus broke the oppression. And he told us to do the same thing. Because in Matthew 12:30, he said, he that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scatters. The devil's power over God's people rests in the fact that God's people don't know that his power has already been broken. And they don't know the authority that's been given to them. Although the word speaks it plainly, it still has to be a revelation that you pick up and do something with. The Bible says of Jesus that in Colossians 2:15, having despoiled the principalities and the powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Now, triumphing is not the victory. Triumphing is celebrating the victory that has already been won, praise God. Jesus triumphed over the devil and he rubbed the devil's nose in what he had accomplished on the cross. The victory was at the cross. And what came after the cross was the triumph. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, but thanks be unto God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. who always, it didn't say sometimes, it says always, leadeth us in triumph in Christ, and makes manifest through us, through who? Through us, the savor of his knowledge in every place. And all we have to do is celebrate the victory. And what we need to do is repeat what the Word says about our circumstances or situation. And we do that by stating what the Word says about our authority and righteousness. All we have to do is believe that. The devil wants us to look at ourselves and our failures and the curse around us, but we just need to remember that we have authority over the curse. We've been crucified with Christ, and we're not alive anymore. Now it's Christ who lives in us, Galatians 2 and 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ living in me. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith. The faith which is in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. And when we remember what the Word of God says about us and our circumstances, then we can celebrate. Praise God. Okay, here's the prayer, Andrew. Father, this seems too easy. But help me to start right now to believe that the devil is crippled. As I read your Word, I see that the devil has been defeated. Help me to believe when my eyes have seen different results. Forgive my unbelief. As I read on, please put in my heart the victory you are bringing to my life and the lives of my loved ones. Thank you for helping me to believe that I've received victory over every demon. Praise God. That's a good one. Thank you, Lord. When you praise God, that's triumphing over the devil. It's celebrating the victory. Praise God. Praising God is not necessarily singing songs. And some songs that you sing in church don't really praise God. Many songs don't even confess the Word of God. They don't celebrate the victory. And as a matter of fact, a lot of them just confess the problem. You know, we're not under the curse anymore because Galatians 3:13 says Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, and that upon the Gentiles might come the blessing of Abraham in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. He became a curse for us so that we could have Abraham's blessing. So how was Abraham blessed? Genesis 24:1. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Galatians 3:15. Brethren, I'll speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet when it hath been confirmed, no one makes it void or adds thereto. Now to Abraham were the promises spoken, and to his seed. He saith not to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Now this I say, a covenant confirmed beforehand by God, the law, which came 430 years after, thus not disannul so as to make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no more of promise, but God hath granted it to Abraham by promise. And now we're celebrating the victory that he already accomplished. Praise God. Anybody got any comments or questions? Y'all are getting anything out of this? Is it okay? All right. Jesus said over in John chapter 16 in verse 33, in the world ye have tribulation, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. There it is. Praise God. In the world ye have tribulation, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Then he said in John 19:30, it is finished. it is finished. And that's what we have to remember when we look around us. And instead, we see the opposite. If we apply the word to the problem, we're going to spoil the principalities, the powers, and the rulers of darkness. It talks about in Ephesians 6 and 12. The Bible says when Jesus took away the devil's armor, he divided the spoil. In Isaiah 53:12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. And Jesus said in Luke 11:23, he that is not with me is against me. And he's talking there about those who are dividing or plundering the spoils. And if you're with Jesus, then you're going to do what Jesus did. And what he did was plunder the devil. All of his physical life, he plundered the devil. And by his victory over the devil, he made it possible for us to plunder the devil's kingdom. We should be spoiling the devil's kingdom. We should be destroying the curse around us. We should be bringing people into victory by putting faith in their hearts. We should be delivering those who are captive by casting out demons. And we should be delivering those who are oppressed of the devil by healing the sick. We should be doing everything our Lord Jesus did. And he went on to say, Jesus went on to say in Luke chapter 11 and verse 23, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathers not with me scattereth. So you're either going to be gathering or you're going to be scattered. In other words, that means you're either going to be on the attack or you're going to be on the run. You're going to be doing one or the other. It's sad to say most Christians are on the run because they don't understand what Jesus did. They don't understand what the Word of God says. They don't understand what their position is in this world. We believers are on the attack. And we are going into this promised land to take this land for Jesus Christ. And not a man there can stand before us. Joshua 1 and 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And most Christians don't understand that the victory has already been given to us. You know, after reading that, I'm reminded of the Bible study we're in here, Speak Grace and Not Condemnation. And David talks about faith there, and he talks about you can read and read about faith and read and study faith all to no avail if you have unbelief in your heart. And so he said, what you have to do is repent of unbelief. You repent of unbelief, you're back in the picture. And you're back on the road. Now you can start believing. Now you can speak against whatever it is that mountain is in front of you. But first, if we keep wavering, then he says you have to repent of unbelief. A lot of times, you know, I remember in the past, man, oh, my faith is waning. I need to get in the Word and start studying them faith scriptures again. That's okay. But if you're not having any rewards from that, and you're still in having trouble getting your prayers answered because of unbelief, then repent of it. Get rid of that demon. And get back on the road, and I guarantee you, you'll start seeing results. And that was a revelation to me. Praise God, because I just thought, well, I'm just kind of getting lax in my own faith, you know. No, you're not. Your faith is not getting lax. It's an unbelief that you've had, and you got to get rid of that by renouncing it. Amen. All right, anybody got anything they'd like to comment on. Y'all help me out here, man. Yeah, Pat.
Let me unmute myself. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
First, I apologize. I got in, pulled in late into the meeting, and unfortunately, I was eating. I got home late, and I felt like really full and, you know, like stuffed. And I just felt like I didn't want to say anything. But interesting thing happened today, and I was listening to the message here about our authority. And I'll go back to Saturday. I think I was starting to kind of come out of the gloom. And Saturday, I had to go to work, for a general contractor up here in the Philadelphia area. And so we had a job on Saturday that I had to work, went in. Took over the site for the rest of the superintendents that were there. And as I was watching the site, I got probably about 10:30 or something like that. I got really sick. And we, in our construction job trailer, whatever, there's nobody basically there. Everybody's out on the site. But it hit me like a ton of bricks, and I just kept getting more nauseated, and I thought, what is this, like a flu or whatever? I didn't know exactly what it was. And I started shaking, like, you know, I just thought it was some sort of an attack or something. So I started casting it down, and I started fighting it I thought, well, this is demonic. It cannot be, you know, I didn't just come up and get sick all of a sudden. And I started throwing up. I grabbed a trash can and I started throwing up for about 5 minutes, and I thought I was going to die as I was praying. And about 15, 20 minutes later or whatever, half an hour later, I started feeling better, and then it lifted and it was over. But it literally drained me. And so I don't know what it was. I mean, I went home and I went to bed. It was like, you know, 4 o'clock on Saturday, and I went to bed and slept all the way through till Monday morning when I went to work. But today yesterday I mentioned that to one of my superintendent friends that is in the trailer there during the day. I just said, you know what? I got really sick on Saturday. And he said, you know what? I'm starting to feel sick myself. And I said, no, you're not feeling sick. We're not having any of that anymore. We had that Saturday. We're not doing that anymore. And I was just kind of playing with him. And I just said, so, a couple hours later, he came in and he made another comment. And today he came in and said, you know, I'm really feeling sick. And I realized that it was an attack on him. Now, this morning when I came into work, I had to go in early, 5:30. So I, before I went into the trailer, I blessed the construction site, all my building and the one over the complete site in the name of the Lord. And, the interesting thing about it is this guy came in this morning and he started talking about feeling sick, and I just cast it down right there. Went in the other room, cast it down in the name of Jesus, and then I never thought about it. I just walked on. And I came back in the field office there about an hour later, and he was as happy and jovial, and his whole countenance just changed, just totally changed. Unfortunately, a lot of other countenances in the trailer changed in the opposite way. And that's another story. But I just thought it was interesting, because tonight when we were going through these scriptures, I was going to stop and ask you about, what about other people that we are dealing with? We're dealing with pulling down the strongholds in other people's lives, but other people have their own will, I guess you might say. And I guess the only thing I'm thinking about in this particular situation is this guy did not want to be sick, and his will was there, even though I didn't really talk to him about it. I just went in the other room and cast it down. So I guess that was kind of the background question I have in my mind, is when you're dealing with other people, that there's their will in the process that can stand against you in the situation, right?
Well, if they're Christians, they have the same access to it, and yes, you can pray for them, and they'll get healed if they believe. If they're unbelievers, you know, there's no guarantee they'll get healed. Go ahead, Andrew.
I have a question then. When Jacob went for his wife to Laban's land, Laban's land was very much blessed because of Jacob. And because of this man's workplace, Pat McKnight, wouldn't that be a blessing to have a worker who is not sick, so that the workplace could be blessed where he's working too?
I agree. If you remember, Paul, we talked about Paul on Malta, when they shipwrecked on Malta. Those weren't, you know, they weren't Christians. But they blessed Paul and all the people on that ship, so the Lord blessed that island. So, yeah, if it's a blessing, you know, I don't put God in the box.
That's two witnesses, one from the Old Testament, one from the
Yeah.
Amen.
There you go. There's no guarantees, but we just, I just pray for them, you know. Don't worry about it. I used to pray for, I'll tell you what, I used to pray for people on the street. And I'd tell them, you know, ask them if they were Christian. Of course, everybody you meet on the street's Christian down here. But I knew, you know what they were. But God would heal them, and then he'd save them. You know, he'd heal them, and then he'd save them. Go ahead, Leah.
Well, I was going to say, I think Pat did the right thing to stop and bless the site. And even if that person has demons in them, you still have authority over those demons. It's not that necessarily that you can cast them out, but you can always overpower them so they can't come against you. So you always have authority over any demon, any devil. That's your right. That's part of your covenant. You have that right.
You can bind them up, can't you?
And they may come back on that person at a later time, But he's not necessarily stable. But you have authority right at that point. Whenever you're there in your presence, you have authority over.
I mean, all right, anybody else got a comment on what Pat was asking? Okay. Well, we'll continue on a little bit. Still in there, Jesus crippled the devil, said, we are not supposed to go in there and lose people. We are supposed to go in there and conquer the enemy. It's been given to us to conquer the enemy. Jesus said in John 20 and 21, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. So he said, okay, he sent me down here to do all this stuff. Now I'm sending y'all to do the same thing that I did. He wants us to walk in his footsteps. God did not send Jesus to fail. He sent him with the word of God, and he sends us with the word of God too. But will we go with the word of God? He says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We have to take the sword of the Spirit. And we have to fight, because if we don't fight, you're going to lose. And if we're not plundering, and if we're not gathering the spoils, we are being scattered. And that word scatters there is from the Greek word scarpizo. And this is where we get the English word scorpion. And it's from the same root as the Greek word scorpios, meaning to penetrate and to put to flight. When a scorpion stings with its tail, it penetrates and puts to flight because of the pain and misery it inflicts. Jesus spoke about scorpions in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19 again. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. In the kingdom of the devil, scorpion spirits are tormentors. When the scorpion spirit stings you, just as with the real scorpion, it hardly ever kills, but it's very painful. I can attest to that. Scorpion spirits can torment your body with sickness and pain, and they may also torment you with fear. 1 John 4:18, fear hath punishment. And if you're not plundering, the devil is going to penetrate you with one of these spirits, causing you to flee. And if you're not plundering, then your thinking is contrary to the word of God, and you're not going to stand up to the devil. Luke chapter 10 and verse 18, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan fallen as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority. Now David says, if your Bible says power instead of the word authority, then it has the wrong word, because the Greek there is exousia, E-X-O-U-S-I-A, meaning authority. And authority means the right to use power. You have the right to use God's power. And how many of you know that God's power is stronger than anything else out there? Verse 19, behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power. And now that word is the Greek word dunamis, and it's the one that means power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you. And that's talking about the serpent and scorpion spirits. These are different kinds of spirits, and they got different works. In the kingdom of the devil, the serpent spirits have authority. while the poison a scorpion inflicts is in its tail, the poison that the serpent inflicts is in its head. And as the and as the saying goes, it's the head that wags the tail. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 28 and 13, and the Lord will make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if thou shalt hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God. So you're going to be above and not beneath. You're going to be the head and not the tail, just as Israel was supposed to be the head and not the tail. The tail reveals something about the head in most of God's creature. For example, you can tell a dog's attitude when you look at its tail. If its tail is standing up in the air and wagging back and forth, you know the dog is happy and he's content, not fearful. But if his tail is tucked down between his legs, you can tell he's feeling guilty or fearful. And you can read his mind by looking at his tail. The superior authority is always the head and not the tail. And the serpent's poison being in the head symbolizes that the serpent's spirit poisons the mind. The job of the serpent's spirit mostly is not to bring about torment, but to change your mind. Their job is to deceive, as the Bible says, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. But he was subtle. He was crafty. He was wise in an evil way. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve in his craftiness. So you can see here that the serpent is a beguiler. Your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity and the purity that is toward Christ. So we see here that serpent spirits beguile. They are deluding spirits and deceiving spirits. They want to change your mind, just as the serpent changed Eve's mind because he wanted to pervert her knowledge. He wanted her to partake of knowledge that was forbidden. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. He wanted her to partake of knowledge that wasn't legal. Amen. Scripture tells us about different ways we can receive things through the spirit realm that are illegal. Deuteronomy 18 and 9. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found with thee any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, one that uses divination, one that practiseth augury, or an enchanter, or a sorcerer, or a charmer, or a consulter with a familiar spirit, or a wizard, or a necromancer. And for whosoever doeth these things is an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations that thou shalt dispossess, hearken unto them that practice augury and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God has not suffered thee to so to do. But the prophet that shall speak a word presumptuously in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. And if thou say in thy heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follows not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. You see, there's false and deceptive knowledge. Going to consult familiar spirits or deceiving spirits, even if they claim to be prophets, is illegal. Going to consult wizards or necromancers is not allowed. All these operate in forbidden knowledge. Of course, the devil wants to give you forbidden knowledge because he wants to delude you. He can make the tail do whatever he wants. If he can change your mind, if he can change the knowledge that God has given you, he can control you. If he can do that, he's got you. That's why these serpent spirits have been given authority in the devil's kingdom. They are higher spirits than scorpion spirits because their primary purpose is to deceive you. And some of these serpents are seducing spirits that operate by giving you false doctrine. Well, that's a big one in the world today. 1 Timothy 4:1, but the Spirit saith expressly that in later times some shall fall away from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. And they seduce you by giving all kinds of flesh-pleasing reasons why it is advantageous for you to believe their doctrine. There are seducing spirits forbidding you to eat meats or to marry and so on. Because if you have a false doctrine, that head is going to wag that tail. And the devil knows the rest of the body, is going to follow. And the most important thing for the devil is that you accept the spirits that work in your head. That's the way he can control the rest of your life. Remember, we are not to receive forbidden knowledge. Instead, we're supposed to be, as it says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imagination and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And you'll win the battle if you start with the head. But if you've got spirits of fear, anxiety, condemnation, or guilt, then the devil has a stronghold in you. And if you have anything that he can use against you, then you're giving the devil a spy in your camp, because one demonic spirit can open the door for other demonic spirits so that you won't be able to stand up against the devil who's looking to destroy you. Matthew 12:43, but the unclean spirit, when he's gone out of the man, passes through waterless places, seeking rest and findeth it not. Then he saith, I will return into my house whence I came out. And whence he is come, he findeth it empty, swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself 7 other spirits, more evil than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this evil generation. The devil's seducing spirits are double agents. They talk in your mind as if they are your friend, and as if they belong to you. But whatever is speaking in your mind that's contrary to the word of God is a stronghold of the enemy by which he can conquer you. You have the authority to cast it out of you. Get rid of it. And then the prayer. Father, you have brought to my attention that I have probably read or listened to things that are not according to your word. I might believe these things are true, when instead they are false. Father, sort through my mind. Sift through my heart. Search me out, Father. I don't want the false. I want what is true. And Father, I thank you in advance for bringing each and every false belief to my attention so that I can cast it down. In faith I speak that you will reveal all to me in your perfect time. And blessed be your name. Amen. Well, okay, anybody got any comments on this? Anything they'd like to ask or say? You have something, Sue? Okay. All right. Anybody else got something to say about this? serpent spirit tries to change your mind. Amen. He's a deluding, he's a deceiving spirit. David says in there, he says, if you have spirits of fear, if you have spirits of anxiety, if you have spirits of condemnation or spirits of guilt, then the devil has a stronghold in you. Listen, if you've got any one of those in your life, you can't have any kind of faith at all. It destroys your faith. Every one of those destroys faith. And you got to get rid of it. Give it to the Lord. You take authority over it. You can do this yourself. All of us can. Everybody here has got the same authority. Man, you got the blessings of heaven right up there above us. You walking like Jesus. All right, anybody else? They want to talk about something. They want to ask a question. You want to make a statement. Come on now, I'm having to slow down here. Anybody got a good joke? No.
Hey, Michael.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, go ahead.
What I was looking when we were reading that, I was looking at the scripture that. In John 16:13, he said, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall guide you into all the truth, for he shall not speak from himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, these things shall he speak, and he shall declare unto you the things that are to come. And that has always been one of my favorite scriptures as far as God providing us his spirit to guide us into all truth. And one of the revelations or clarifications, I guess you might say, is that he's leading us into all truth, out of all deception, because we were born in a world of deception, and that deception was born in us through the process. And so I guess just the short of it is, part of that deception, or the major part of that deception, is within me as an individual, that has to come out, has to be revealed and come out. And even when you're speaking about that fear, I was going to not even join the group tonight just because of the fear of just being like overfed, overstuffed doll, and like that I couldn't contribute, and there was all kinds of thoughts going through my mind, and I thought, and then it came to me that my life is not my own. I don't have the right not to participate, not to be there, be a support for my brothers and sisters, or be in tune or there for prayer or whatever else. So there was a certain, even this message tonight was kind of a confirmation to me, myself, about the struggles that I'm having. related to that fear and anxiety and that sort of thing. So thank you guys for being here.
Well, we all help one another. I had a message yesterday on serving the body, and if you get a chance, take a listen to it. It's that's our job as a Christian. We're to serve the body, and we do that by helping people, putting faith into them, jamming them full of faith. Oh, look at those precious children. Amen. Is that Joshua? No.
That's my little Josiah there.
Josiah, me. I see Joshua. Yeah. Bless you, Josiah. Hannah. What's the little girl's name?
He's sleeping right now.
Yeah. What's the little girl's name?
It's little Leanna.
Leanna. Hey, girl.
Ah,
what's up, girl? You fixing to move down south where it's warm, honey. It was that almost 80 degrees out here today. Glory to God. You ain't got to put up with that old snow anymore. You're coming down south, sweetie. Leanne, is that what you said?
Leanna.
Leanna, okay. Hey, Leanna, do you want a little brother or a little sister coming up? Or does she know? I ain't talking to you. I don't know you. I can't see you. I don't know you. You ain't getting nothing out of me, buddy. I don't blame you. I don't blame you a bit nowhere. Well, praise God. Do y'all want to continue in on this delivered from dark powers?
Yes.
I got one yes. I got two yeses. I got three. I got four. I got 18. I got 35.
Yes.
Open the gate and let's go now, boys. It's going. It's auctioned off here.
No, it's good.
Okay. Good deal. I would like for y'all to read it, and let's just talk about it instead of me reading it to y'all. And we could discuss those things. Hey, Missy, you've been sleeping, haven't you? I can tell. You've been snoozing. Yeah, I'm talking about you. Yeah, that's you. You in the red. Okay. All right. No, Missy, I'm just kidding. I get to pick on her. Well, she gets to cut my hair, so I can't pick on her too much. She'll make me look like a mohawk. Yeah. Just dripping right down, boy. Amen. All right. Anyone else got something they'd like to comment on? How about you, Denny? I pick you. Nothing? Okay. Okay. All right. What about you, Suji? I can't hear you. Hang on, let me unmute you. Unmute. I don't want to unmute. Can you do it? You don't know how, do you? Okay. Anyway, maybe she ain't got nothing to say. John, you got anything you'd like to add or comment on? Down in Stockholm, Sweden?
We still got snow.
Do what?
We still got snow here, so it's really cold. Okay.
Well, but
I've been awake for 24 hours now, so I'm really like to go to my warm bed.
I don't blame you either. I don't blame you a bit. I just want to make you feel good. It's about 75 here today. Just saying, you know. Amen. Okay, brother. Let me pray for you, okay? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for John. I ask, Lord, that you give him a good night's sleep. When he gets up, he's supernaturally energized, Lord, and he's ready to go again. And, Father, we thank you for his participation in these fellowships. And, Lord, we ask that you make it open for him to do that more often in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Okay, John.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, I did want to, I'm just going to, me and you know what we're talking about, so I'm going to mention it. Hagin, Kenneth Hagin, before he died, he repented of all of that mess that he got himself into. And he called in all of those people that he mentored. I'm talking about Kenneth, Copeland, Jesse Duplantis, the guy out there in Georgia. Anyway, all of those men and women that were he mentored over the years, he called them in and told them to repent of what they were doing, and none of them did it. None of them did it, but he did, and he got right with the Lord before he died. Praise God, and I praise God for that too, because I like that old man. That old man taught me a lot through the years. Yeah, Leon.
I was going to say, and now all his disciples are hanging out with the Pope.
Okay. Go figure, you know.
Yeah.
Well, that's a stupid spirit. That's a stupid spirit. Okay. All right. Anybody else got anything they'd like to comment on before we close out tonight?
Michael, can I ask for prayer for my back?
Yes, sir.
I just want prayer for my back to straighten, heal.
You got any pain?
Yes.
Okay. Here in the name of Jesus right now, we command that pain out of Pat's back. We command it to be healed in the name of Jesus. Father, we just thank you that from the top of his neck to the bottom of his back is healed. Everything in there is healed in Jesus' name. We command it to be straightened up. We command complete restoration of his back in the name of Jesus. And I praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord. Now,
thank you, Jesus.
Patrick, get up and bend over. Get up and bend over. I have everybody do this. I'm telling you, God healed you. Now, bend over and say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for healing my back.
Yes, yeah. Now stand straight up. Hold your arms up and say, Lord, I receive what you have given me in the name
I
of Jesus.
I receive it, and I believe it, and I Amen. Receive it in Jesus' name.
Okay.
Amen.
Now, I want you to do the twist. Ba-da-da-da-da, ba-da-da-da-da-da-da. Boogie down, boy, boogie down. Oh, you look so
silly. This is boogieing as much as I can.
Yeah, okay. All right, brother. All I believe you're healed in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Okay. Tim, would you close us out tonight, please, sir? You mind?
No, not at all. I'd be privileged to. Thank you.
Okay.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful evening we've had together. We thank you for the fellowship you've given us that a lot of us don't have a chance to participate in any other way. Thank you for Jesus. Feelings that have been manifested this evening. And everyone will have a great night. And all the blessings we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Good night, saints. God
good
bless
night,
you
all. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.